Welcome to the Lucid Ess podcast, where I explore everything, because I believe in the infinite, unbounded potential within each of us. This is Shelley, a fellow seeker and a lover of life's mysteries. I invite you to join me and explore your uncharted depths.
Porcelain Lives is the name of a book I began about 6 years ago. It's about the time I spent caring for my father when he was dying of Alzheimer's. But it's really about learning to forgive, learning to heal, learning to understand oneself, learning to truly be a part of a family, and learning to understand that each of our lives is porcelain. It is so strong and powerful and beautiful. It is also fragile and is made from the clay of the earth, the fire of the sun, the waters, and the winds. So what I share with you today is the first chapter of that book. The chapter is called The Naming. She was some sort of cross between a hummingbird and an earth mover. Angle of repose. February 1972, Kahuku, Hawaii. I imagine my mother standing with one hand upon the impressive 9-month curve of her pregnant belly, while the other strokes her lower back, attempting to equalize the weight of me inside of her. The hem of her mu'umu, a native Hawaiian dress, flutters about her calves, revealing her eternally calloused and cracked heels. On the other end of her tall frame, her short black hair points skyward with the same intensity of a new wire brush. Her hair looks this way, both wet and dry. My two older sisters amuse themselves in the shadows beneath a coconut tree. They are a kaleidoscope of light and dark as the breeze fingers the palm leaves. My eldest sister is conducting whatever merriment they have imagined. She will remain the overlord of us younger siblings until she leaves for college, and she will never look back. She, the eldest, will cut a swath through our parents' bramble. I will follow this path and appreciate it without realizing it was her doing. Her features resemble the seashore, which is a stone's throw from our home. It is blinding white sand for skin and stunning blue water for eyes. My other sister is playing beside the eldest, and upon my arrival, she and I will become cherished playmates. She and I look so alike through our younger years that I am constantly called her name. This continues until she discovers her beauty early, and I waddle behind as the ugly duckling. This sister doesn't resemble the seashore. She is the darkest of our family, with deep bronze skin which never burns. Over to the side of our yard is the vegetable garden. I imagine my father, a shovel in one of his hands, its blade inches deep in the moist volcanic soil, while his other hand points here and there, directing my brother's gaze. My father loves his garden as much as he loves imparting its wisdom to those who will listen. For now, that's my brother, the small boy squatting by the shovel. My brother listens with rapture, in deep communion with nature, a communion which he will cultivate into award-winning orchids and bonsai. This is as pleasant a time as my family will know. My mother exhausts herself daily with cleaning, cooking, and tending her children's youth, while my father completes his PhD dissertation and teaches at the university, BYU, Brigham Young University, a Mormon educational institution. In the evenings, after the children are in bed, my parents sit side by side. My father grades student papers, while my mother types his handwritten pages into a typed dissertation. The old clickety-clackety typewriter has an odd rhythm. My mother's fingers are not wild like the geckos on the wall, with their throats flashing. Her fingers are cautious, deliberate, and precise, for there is no delete button, no whiteout. These are the final days of my mother's fourth pregnancy, and many are spent huddled on a small couch in front of a tiny black and white television screen. I'm not there yet, but I can see my family watching the 1972 Olympic Games. I can smell my sibling's salty hair as it wisps against my mother's face. They're crawling over her belly with bleached skin and bronzed skin, and I can hear them frolic before her eyes as she strains to hear the TV. For my mother, the Winter Olympics are romance. A romance which comes along every 4 years. This is when some deep intrinsic part of her comes to life, and none more so than when she watches the Olympic pairs figure skating. My mother is mesmerized, oblivious to the overripe bananas and the swaggering cockroaches. The portrayal of power and grace in the pairs elicit an immense joy and a deep sorrow from her. They also elicit a wellspring of laughter and tears. It happens again and again. 4 years later, I too will crowd onto her lap and be soothed by this unusual romance. But this year, in 1972, I am still inside, listening to the skates of the American figure skating pair, JoJo Starbuck and Ken Shelley. Their skates swish, pick, scrape, and glide as their bodies jump, twist, and carve across polished ice. My mother is in love. Not with anyone or even anything. She is simply in love. In fact, she is so in love that when the skating music fades and the flowers cascade, my mother wipes her cheeks with a floral sleeve and says, "Shelley, that's a nice name." My father does not sit with our family in front of the television ever. Television is trashy. Below his graven images, which are books, his dignified books. And since there is no room inside our petite home for poetry books from the 1800s, my father must recall his love of the poet Percy Shelley from earlier days as a bachelor. "Shelley, that's a nice name," he says. Years later, when I separately ask my parents why they chose my name, they tell me their story. When I ask them why the other one chose the same name, Shelley, neither one knows, which I find odd. But regardless of their memories, both remembered and forgotten, just a few days before the stork arrives, they both agree, boy or girl, the name is Shelley, in honor of their chosen man. I wonder if this is when their marriage started to slide, when the pebbles began to roll, when their angle of repose slanted so sharply that their communication broke into a scree field that led to 30 years of estrangement. Maybe this is why my name is misspelled, not Shelley with an E-Y at the end after their honorable men, but Shelley, just why? Like the character from Wallace Stegner's Pulitzer Prize-winning novel, Angle of Repose. Remember that clickety-clackety typewriter? Well, the book my father is using for his PhD dissertation, the book my mother is typing about, the book I am hearing about as I incubate, is this book, Angle of Repose, and Shelley, Just Why, is a character in that book. Now, this Shelley, Just Why, she is altogether different from the Shelleys, EY. First, she is a woman. And then she is sloppy sexy, not well-mannered. And then she is sharp and brutally honest in her speech. And then she has an uncanny ability to ferret out the root of any issue until it is raw and exposed. And then she has bizarre attractions to directionless men, which might be laughable were she not so genuine. So why is my name spelled like her? A character with serious character flaws and judgment flaws. Why not spell my name after their glorious men? And why aren't I more like their glorious men? Is it simply coincidence that my life is distressingly similar to Shelley's with just a Y?
Thank you for exploring with me on the Lucidez podcast. It is my hope that you discovered new wisdom within yourself and are inspired to live your unique strokes of genius.